Let's come to God's word this morning. I see there's a beeline for the water cooler. It is hot. And last week, we looked at Acts chapter 6, where we saw that Acts chapter 6, verse 1 began with that the number of disciples were increasing. Remember, this is straight after Pentecost, a few weeks, maybe a few months, but the number of disciples were increasing. There was phenomenal growth taking place. And then in the middle of this growth, something happens. Yeah, the Grecian widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So there was an issue, there was a problem that arose and that could have derailed this move of God. And just to recap, the apostles, when they heard about this problem, you know, now imagine, these are apostles of the great move of God. Yeah, Peter preached, 3,000 saved. Acts chapter 4, 5,000 saved, and then thousands are being saved. This great revival going on, and suddenly there's a problem about distribution of food. Now the apostles could say, listen, don't bother us with this food stuff, or you sort it out yourselves. But no, they realized it was important, and they said, okay, this is the way we handle it. They said, number one, you know, get 7 people, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, get them to wait on tables and look after the widows. They said, number two, it would not be right for us as the apostles to stop preaching the word and praying and to attend to the needs of the people, these needs of serving on tables, all right? And we saw that happen. And we saw the conclusion. They selected 7 men. And then in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, it says, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. So it starts with great many disciples. There's a problem. It's sorted out, and it ends with great growth taking place. And we looked at all of that last week. And this week, we're going to look a little more closely at one of the heroes among these 7 people who were chosen to serve on tables. Any guesses who that person is? Stephen. Okay, here's Stephen. So we're going to look at Stephen. And this is what happens. We're going to read a few verses, more than a few verses. And we start at verse 8. And Stephen, now remember, what has Stephen been recruited for? He's recruited not for preaching the gospel. He's not recruited for evangelizing. He's been recruited to wait on tables, to serve food and make sure the widows get their proper food every day. That's his job. Well, what does he do? And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Wow. His calling, his title of waiting on tables didn't prevent him from doing great signs and wonders among the people. What else did he do? Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Ha! So not only was he doing signs and wonders, but he was also proclaiming the word and debating with these people, with Jews who had come from out of Jerusalem, from all these different places, Cyrenia and Alexandria and Cilicia and Asia Minor. And he was proclaiming the Christ and he was debating with them. Verse 10, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly instigated men who said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him and seized him and brought him before the council. And they set up false witnesses who said, this man never ceases to speak words against his holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and will change the customs that Moses delivered to us. And gazing at him, All who sat in the council saw his face was like the face of an angel. Okay? So here's the life of Stephen. He's been recruited to serve food. He's doing that. I must have been doing that very well. But on the side, he's performing signs and wonders, preaching the gospel, debating with the Jews. The Jews can't stand up to his logic because the Holy Spirit is guiding him. And they, you know, when they lose the debate, they start slandering him. And they raise up false witnesses to say he's speaking against Moses, he's speaking against the temple, he's speaking against the law. And then they take him and they drag him off to the high priest. And then Stephen preaches a message. It's the longest message recorded in the book of Acts. Think about it. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. 25 verses are recorded. On this day, Stephen preaches. 50 verses are recorded. Double that. Wow, what a message. Now think of him. Who's he? He's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. He's waiting on tables, but anointed by God. Wow. And at the end of this, at the end of his preaching, in verse 54 of chapter 7, as we go forward, what happens is the people drag Stephen out of the city and they stone him to death and they kill him. Okay? So that's the short life and ministry of Stephen. And we'll look at that in a little detail today and maybe next week. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word that is living and active. Thank you for the life of Stephen as is recorded in the scriptures here this morning. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to receive your amazing truth from the word, Lord. Anoint me, Lord, that I would preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to look at a couple of things about Stephen this morning. The first thing you're going to look at is his calling. Think about it. The church had just been formed. Remember, 120 people gathered in the upper room. Jesus gave them this promise in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. What was the promise? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." That's Acts. Remember the verse. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That was the plan A. That was the original plan. Now, great things had happened in Jerusalem. From the 120 believers, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, 3,000 were saved. That's, I don't know how many fold increase. And then again, another 5,000. And then increase of disciples and multiplication. So it must have been a group of maybe 20 to 30,000 people in a very short time. And out of these 30,000 people, Peter and the apostles say, choose seven, just seven qualified men, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, and we want them to serve on tables. And among the seven, the first name mentioned is Stephen. Wow. What a selection. What a calling. Out of all the 30,000 people that are there in Jerusalem, believers, Stephen is the first one picked among the seven. Okay? What a qualification. And picked to serve on tables. So he must have been a person of repute. The Bible says that he was full of faith. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He was recognized by the people around him. Okay? He was recognized by them. He was brought to the apostles. The apostles laid their hands upon him and the other seven, that's in verse 6, and they set them to work. Okay, the second thing about Stephen that we see is not only was his amazing calling, that he was chosen among so many people because of his reputation, his wisdom, because he was filled with the Spirit, but we look at his amazing character. What's there about his character? If you look at the life of Stephen, and you see the life of Jesus, we see so many similarities. Okay, we don't have time to get into all of them today, but just think about it. You know, Stephen was a servant. He says, "I'll wait on tables. I'll serve the widows their biryani. That's okay, or their rice and their curry and their dal." He said, "I'll do that. Okay, I don't need to stand up here and preach, or I don't need to be in the worship band. I'll serve the food. I'll serve the water." That's what he did. He was a man of character. Okay. And we see that not only was he a man of character? Okay, first of all, he, like Jesus, the similarities, he served. Jesus, remember the Last Supper? Yeah, He knew where he had come from. He knew where he was going. That's it. He was fully aware. He wrapped up his robe. What did he do? He took a basin of water and he served. He washed the feet of his disciples. That's what Jesus did. And so they did the same thing. Jesus did amazing signs and wonders. You know, we know all that he did, healing the sick, raising the dead. Stephen, verse 8 says, was full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Another similarity between the two. Jesus did that. Stephen did the same thing. Okay. Third similarity. Okay. Jesus went about preaching a gospel, calling people to repent. What did Stephen do? He did the same thing. You know. Now, the history behind this here in verse 9 is, and some of them who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen. Now, in Jerusalem, historians say that there must have been about close to 500 synagogues. Okay, 500 synagogues in the city. Tradition has it that if you had 10 Jews in a city, they could form a synagogue. So there were not one, not two, but 500 synagogues. And these synagogues were grouped according to where you were from. So here there was a synagogue of the freedmen and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of, you know, in Bombay, in South Bombay, they have different Goan clubs. Have you heard of them? Yeah, they have Goan clubs. What are these clubs about? These are little hostels based on the village in Goa you come from. Okay, so based on the village or the town, they have it's a little flat and with a cook and something like that. So whenever a Goan, usually a shippy or somebody who goes on the ships, has to go off, he would come to Bombay. Now, staying in Bombay is very, very expensive. You realize that. But what they would do is, they would go to one of the clubs. Say, if I'm from a certain village, I'll find the club that belongs to my village. And because I belong to the village, I'll go there, I'll get food, I'll get accommodation, all that for a couple of days, and so forth. Now, this was similar here, where you had synagogues based on where people had come from. Yeah, so you had Cilicia, we had Alexandria, and all these different places. So different synagogues in the city. Stephen was also a Greek-speaking Jew, okay? And so he went to these synagogues where Greek was spoken, and he debated, and he preached the gospel to these people. Okay, so that's what we learn about Stephen there. And that's what Jesus did the same thing, Stephen did the same thing. When the people could not stand his logic, his wisdom, they just didn't know what to do. The next thing they did was they slandered him. Remember the same thing happened to Jesus? I was reading last week about Lazarus was raised from the dead. It was not that he died 50 minutes and he was raised from the dead. He was there 4 days in the grave. His body should have been rotting. He should have been smelling. But he rose from the dead and came up. Now, most people would say, wow, look at what happened. But what did the Pharisees and the Jews do? They said, oh no, if this continues, the Romans will come and take our place and take our nation. And they were not happy with what happened with Lazarus, and they made plans to kill Jesus and Lazarus. And the same thing happened here. Okay? They were not happy that Stephen was doing signs and wonders. They were not happy that they could not withstand Stephen's arguments. And they, what did they do? They wanted to kill him, and they secretly instigated people to bring up false accusations against Stephen. Didn't they do the same thing for Jesus? False accusations against Jesus. Okay? And they brought him up. So we see the similarity. And then we see the similarity of Stephen and Jesus in their death. Amazing, amazing, amazing. You know? But we'll come to that later and how he died. Okay. So we see that. Let's look at the character of Stephen. Number one we looked at was he's full of faith. Okay, the Bible says in Acts in 6 verse 5, and they pleased the whole gathering and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. What is it? How do we know that he was full of faith? Well, we know he was full of faith for the simple reason that he was full of the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing the Word. If you want faith in your life, read the Word. How do we know Stephen was full of the Word? Look at his speech. Look at his sermon in Acts chapter 7. From verse 2 onwards, right up to verse 53, he's preaching the word. Now, I don't think Stephen had a piece of paper and a Bible and a pulpit when he spoke. Okay? He just stood up there. Remember, they had arrested him. They had accused him of wrong things, and they were going to kill him. And he just stood up. And whatever was in his heart came out, and he preached the word. Wow. So he was full of faith because he was full of the word. He believed in the Old Testament. We look at it. He believed in Abraham. He believed in the New Testament, in David. And then he believed in Jesus. He believed in the Holy Spirit. We don't have time to get into the whole message, but that's what he did. He believed in that. Secondly, he was full of wisdom. Okay? We see that in verses 5. He was full of faith. Verse 9, verse 10. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Now, think about this. This is the most, and as I was reading this and studying this, this is an amazing thing. Who was Stephen debating with in those synagogues? Okay, he was debating with Jews and Jews from all these different places. Now, I want you to use your imagination a bit. Do you know one of the people who could have been there in the synagogues? The Apostle Paul. Wow. Think about this. Okay, here is Stephen, a brand new Christian. Okay, he's going to this synagogue, and we see that in the synagogue, you had people from Alexandria and from Cilicia. Where is Paul from? Acts chapter 21, verse 39. Okay, says this. Paul says in verse 39, he says, Paul replied, I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia. Okay, I'm just wondering, could it be, and commentators feel that that is true, that in the synagogue, imagine there's a debate between Stephen and Saul. Okay, and they're debating on the law, they're debating on Moses, they're debating on circumcision, they're debating on all these topics. Okay, and you know who's winning the debate? Stephen. Isn't that amazing? With the Holy Spirit, it was amazing. Okay? In fact, if you look at Paul's teachings later on in Romans, you'll find that much of Paul's teachings show that they've been affected by Stephen's preaching. Everything we find in Stephen's message in Acts chapter 7 is found in Saul, in the Apostle Paul's teaching. What did Stephen talk about? Is it salvation by grace and by faith? Nothing to do with the law, with Moses, with the temple, with circumcision. Okay, he speaks about Abraham, chosen by faith, chosen by grace, justified by faith. The same thing, Paul says the same thing in Romans. Okay, so Saul must have debated with Stephen. Okay, and probably that has influenced him. Okay, then we see, not only was Stephen full of wisdom, he was a man full of grace. What does that mean, full of grace? Like Jesus in his death, when Stephen was being stoned, okay, in verse 60. Imagine you're being dragged out and you've been taken to the city and people are stoning you. What would your reaction be? You know, have you ever, don't answer, but think about this. Have you ever stood at a bus stop or in a bus and somebody has stamped your foot? What's the reaction? God bless you, my son. You know, or do we say, you fool, can't you see where you're going? You know, and that's, you know, but what was Stephen's reaction? Look at this. Verse 59 of chapter 7. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Verse 60, and falling to his knees, here he's being stoned, but he gets onto his knees, and he cries out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold the sin against them. Wow. He's praying for the people who stoned him. So when it means he's full of grace, that means he extended grace even to his persecutors and his murderers. Right at the point of death, he prayed for them. Does that remind you of somebody? Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. You know, amazing, amazing truth. So we see here that he was full of grace. And I want to say that, you know, we can look at the life of Stephen. We can say, what a pity. He died. His ministry was just 1.5 chapter. That was it. And he died. But really, the length of your life does not determine the impact it will make. Okay? The length of your life does not determine the impact. You may live 100 years, but have no impact. But you can live for Christ a few weeks or a few months, but have such a massive, massive impact. What was the impact of Stephen's life? The first big thing that happened. Okay, after Stephen was crucified, what happens? Well, chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul approved of his execution. By the way, Saul was there at the execution. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. Okay, Stephen was killed, and that day a great persecution arose in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Think about this. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my disciples in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Acts chapter 8 verse 1. A persecution comes about and the church is scattered to Judea and Samaria and later on to the ends of the earth. Do you see that? So the first thing that happened as a result of Stephen's martyrdom is that the Christians who were congregating in Jerusalem were pushed out to forcibly, they didn't go on their own, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The fulfillment of Jesus' prophecy. Stephen, some people say, was the trigger that allowed the gospel to go to the ends of the world. His death. What was the other effect of his life? Saul's conversion. Stephen prayed right at the time he was dying. Father, Lord, do not hold this against them. Saul was right there. Saul heard the whole speech of Acts chapter 7. Saul possibly debated with Stephen in the synagogue. And then Jesus got hold of Saul. And then Saul took over from Stephen. And so here we see that Stephen is a great bridge between the gospel going to the Jews and to the Gentiles. All right? So let's look at that. What's a bridge? First of all, Stephen was appointed by Peter and the other apostles. He was appointed by them. Okay? Stephen died. And then Saul came onto the scene, and Saul took the gospel to the Gentiles. Isn't that amazing? So Peter, Stephen, Saul, and the gospel went forth. So sometimes we don't understand these events that happen. We say, Lord, couldn't you have stopped him from being killed? God could have done that, but we don't understand it. You know. But as I think it was Tertullian, we said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. That as blood is shed, you know, the church grows. Okay, as Christian, blood is shed in the sense of as Christians are persecuted and die for their faith, the church will grow. We see the example of Jim Elliot. You remember Jim Elliot? And, you know, they went to South America, four of them, and as missionaries. And they had just graduated from college, mission, you know, and then in that same year, they went and they were martyred. I think there were four of them that were killed. We say, Lord, what a waste of young lives. They've studied theology. They've studied this. They are zealous for the gospel. They're not saying, I want to make money or do all that. They're saying, I want to take the gospel. And then the first time they go, they're killed. We say, Lord, what a waste. But you know what happened as a result of that? That year, I think records say that more than 800 young people committed their lives to missions as a result of that. Wow. So we don't understand how powerful one life can be or one death can be. Okay. To wind this all up this morning, see, you know, God has not changed his plans. His plans are the same. Take the gospel to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Just as, what can we do to do that? We've got to just follow in the footsteps of Jesus and in the footsteps of Stephen. Stephen waited on tables. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to serve? That's where ministry starts. Do whatever is needed. Let's serve. Humble ourselves and serve. Are we willing to proclaim the gospel? Let's engage with people. Unless the, you know, some people say, people will know we are Christians just by the way we behave. That may be so, but without the preaching of the gospel, nobody will be saved. And I want to encourage us, can we cry out to God, say, Lord, use me to share the gospel with somebody, to reach out to somebody, to pray for them. And that's exactly what Stephen did. The third thing is, he was doing great, full of grace, full of power, great signs and wonders. And to really spend time waiting on God. How is it that Stephen, you know, formerly till then, only the apostles did great signs and wonders. But here we see Stephen and further down, Philip. You know, they were ordinary guys. But God used them powerfully to cast out demons and heal people. Ken, do you think it's possible God can use you and God can use me? You know, so there's something we're missing. But say, Lord, use me, Lord. I want to be used like Stephen and like Philip. Okay, cast the God. Not only did he live well, but he died well. And you know, you won't die well unless we are prepared right now to live well. And that's what Stephen did. It didn't just happen all of a sudden. Okay, he was able to stand up to his persecutors, forgive them, kneel down, pray for them. Because he was full of the Holy Spirit, full of grace. You know, and I think, and it didn't just happen that day. Stephen must have been a man full of grace all the time in his debating, in his life. You know, and we can be that kind of people where we are full of grace in our speech and in our actions. Stephen has set before us a tremendous challenge, a tremendous example. Okay, and one of the key things, we look at that the next time, is that he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. You know, when they were, several times it says it was full of the Holy Spirit, but when they accused him of being a blasphemer, look at Acts chapter 6 verse 15, and gazing at him, all those who sat in the council saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Wow. You know, face of an angel. And there's something about being filled with the Holy Spirit where there is a transformation that can occur in our countenance, right? You know who else it happened to? It happened to Moses. Moses spent time in God's presence, and when he came out, his face was shining. He had an encounter with the Spirit of God. And so just as Stephen and Moses, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit, you know, let us seek to be people who are full of the Holy Spirit. You know, have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, there's something different about you? Have you had that? You know, people say, I'm looking at you this, you know, and people don't know how to phrase it. They say, there's some positive energy coming from you here. You know, they see something in us. And so if we spend time in God's presence, full of the Spirit, okay, there can be a transformation as we change from one degree of glory to another. I leave that with you this morning. Let's look at the life of Stephen and say, Lord, help me to be like that. Doesn't matter how long our life is, but it's what impact it can have for the gospel and for the kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Stephen, Lord. What an amazing life he led. Lord, would you raise up the Stephens among us this morning, Lord? Lord, we need more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, apart from you, we can do nothing. We need your Spirit to live for you and to die for you. Lord, to proclaim the gospel and to serve. Lord, would you do that to us at Word of Grace, Lord? Would you make us a people who are so full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, Lord, full of power, Lord, full of faith, full of the Word. Oh, Lord, we ask you to do that, Lord. We ask you to do that to us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen.